Good morning. I'm Jeremy Africa, lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of our praise team, our chancel choir, and many who are leading worship today, I want to welcome you to our time together. Whether you're with us here in the sanctuary or joining us online, glad that we could come together and continue our Lenten journey together. As we begin today, we have several announcements to highlight for you this morning. I'm going to start with Denise Link, who serves as a member of our missions team, on today being UMCOR Sunday. Denise?
Thank you, Jeremy. You just took part of my line. I'm Denise Link. Hi. For those who don't know me, and I am a member of the missions team here at the church. And today, March 30th, is UMCOR Sunday. UMCOR stands for United Methodist Committee on Relief. On this day, United Methodists worldwide will take up an offering for our denomination's humanitarian relief. According to the United Methodist Communications, and I quote, "Gifts given on UMCOR Sunday play a vital role in enhancing the church's global humanitarian response, because these funds cover UMCOR's administrative costs. This support ensures that 100% of donations given to UMCOR throughout the year can be directed toward on-the-ground relief and recovery efforts, allowing UMCOR to effectively respond to crisis and provide assistance where it is needed most. At Midland First, we participate in UMCOR Sunday through our mission team's allocation of $2,000 as its missional support toward this offering. Thank you for contributing to our collections for UMCOR throughout the year, which support UMCOR's relief efforts following natural disasters. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise, for highlighting our support of UMCOR Sunday, and sorry to step on your line there. Next, I'm going to turn to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who has several announcements about our activities and services during Holy Week and Easter, and several more. So, Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, if you turn in your bulletin, you'll find an insert relating to our Holy Week and Easter services. I would encourage you to put that on the fringe. There is a back sign, but our services to begin Holy Week, we'll start on April 13th. That is Palm Sunday. We will be celebrating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And we'll have some palm branches available to wave. And then we have some things going on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday as well. So I encourage you to hold on to this insert. Also, I would like to remind you that April 13th is the deadline for our scholarships. So if anyone is anticipating applying for those, just know that those are due to me by April 13th or the Monday after.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Those are for those who are in community college, post-secondary.
Correct.
And for any students then, correct?
Correct.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. Finally, I want to draw your attention to one of the inserts in your bulletin this morning. You'll find that on one of those inserts, we are celebrating Melanie Lonsway's ministry with us. Melanie has served as the church's administrative assistant since last April. Her last day with us will be April 8th, as Melanie has accepted the call to serve as the Director of Children's Ministry at Trinity Lutheran Church, where her family worships and also where her husband serves on staff as their music director. Since joining us last year, Melanie has been instrumental in expanding our community assistance program, improving our use of our church's membership database, and also assisting our congregation and staff through the transition of my arrival as lead pastor. With this, the Strategic Leadership Council is actively working to fill the position. If you have any questions, I invite you to contact the chair or vice chair of the SLC, who is Ellen Talbot, and also Brad Barr, or invite you to contact me as well. We're very much grateful for Melanie's time with us on the church's staff, and therefore a staff luncheon will be held on April 8th to honor and to celebrate Melanie and her contributions to the church. And we invite those who have interacted with Melanie, gotten to know her, worked alongside her, to drop by the church's office to express your appreciation for her in the coming weeks. Melanie is in the office Monday through Thursday, 9 to 3 p.m. So share that news with you in this upcoming transition and change for us on the church's staff. With that, there's an awful lot more in your bulletin and also in your weekly emails that are sent out from the church office. I invite you to go through your e-blast to see all that is taking place.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dawn Lapham. Please join me in the call to worship. We are called to forgive as we have been forgiven, to further comprehend the depth of your mercy. May we in this hour open ourselves to the tenderness of the Almighty. Justice and mercy go hand in hand to root out sin and make us pure. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness and worship our Lord, who loves us and calls us to himself.
You may be seated. And I would invite the children to come up this morning. Hi, everybody. It's so good to see you this morning. Very good to see you this morning. Well, Miss Hillary is on vacation today, and so I have the privilege of the children's blessing. And then Miss Marilyn, Miss Melinda, and Miss Allison will be helping in Sunday school. And I hear that today you'll get to put together some Easter gift bags for our Sunday friendship lunch friends. You know, Jesus left us two commandments. Two really big commandments that encompass them all. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so when you prepare the Easter treats, that is a way that we can love our neighbors. There's lots of different ways that we can do that, but preparing those Easter treats today is one of them. And so I want to encourage you in that way, and I want to pray for you. Let's pray today. Jesus, we're so happy to be here at church. It'll be fun and important to put together Easter surprises. Lord, we pray that we would do our best for you in whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's putting together these Easter surprises or anything else. Thank you for your love for us. We love you. And I pray that each of these children here today know that they are loved as well. I pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. I hope you have a lot of fun in Sunday school. And now we come to a time of offering. And I would encourage you, as the ushers come forward, for you to also sign the friendship pads that are in your pew. They're red. And I would encourage you to pass them down so that we know who's here. We love to get to know our neighbors.
Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. The unforgiving heart that brooms on wrongs and will not let old bitterness depart. In blazing light, your cross reveals the truth we dimly knew. What trivial debts are owed to us, how great our debt to you. Lord, cleanse the depths within your souls and bid resentment cease. Then bound you all in bonds of love, our lives will spread your peace.
Lord, we give you thanks for the privilege that it is to give. All that we have to give is all that we have already been given. Lord, I pray that you would bless these gifts to your honor and glory, and that they would build up your kingdom. I pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 34. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to a cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our Father, who...
Yes?
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father, who art in heaven...
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Here I am. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. You know, I was just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, sort of like getting a job done.
All right, go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means, good grief, how should I know what it means? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Oh, that makes sense. I never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Of course, why not?
What are you going to do about it?
Do? Well, nothing, I suppose. I just think it would be rather good if you got control of things down here than you do up there.
Have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you. What about the bad temper? You've really got a problem there, you know.
Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as the rest of those people at church.
Excuse me, but I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it. Like you, for example.
Oh, all right. I guess I do have a few hang-ups. Now that you mention it, I probably could name some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it much until now, but I would really like to cut out some of those things. I would like to know how it is to be really free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and I. Some real victories can be won.
Look.
I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I need to finish this up here. This is taking a lot longer than it usually does. Give us this day our daily bread.
Having just what you need each day and no more is good for everyone.
Hey, you're not making this prayer very easy, are you?
Praying is a dangerous thing. You could end up changed, you know. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me, and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
I'm scared to.
Scared of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What about Anne?
See, I knew you would bring her up. Why, Lord, she told lies about me, spread stories about my family, and she never paid back the money she owes me. I swear out that I'll get even with her.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying around that load of bitterness inside, is it?
No, but I'll feel better as soon as I get even. Have I got some plans for her? She'll wish she never moved into this neighborhood.
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you already are. But I can change all that.
You can? How?
Forgive Anne. Then I'll forgive you. Then the hate will be Anne's problem, and not yours. You will have settled your heart.
Oh, you're right. You always are. And more that I want to get revenge against Anne. I want to be right with you, but all right. I forgive her. Help her to find the right road in life. She's bound to be awfully miserable now that I think about it. Anyone who goes around doing the things she does to others has to be unhappy. Please show her the right way.
There. Wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all. I feel pretty great. You know, I don't think I'll have to go to bed uptight tonight for the first time since I can remember. Maybe I won't be so tired from now on because I'm not getting enough rest.
You're not through with your prayers. Go on.
Oh, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. Good, I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
For thine is the kingdom the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you.
What would please me is to have people like you, truly loving everyone you come in contact with, no matter how different or scary they might seem. Loving them is how you love me. There's no telling what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make of me, okay?
Yes, let's see.
Almost nervous to say, let us pray. Have a different sense of expectancy as we pray. But indeed, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We all have our favorites. Our favorite flavor of ice cream, coconut almond delight for yours truly. All right, I see a hand out there. Our favorite go-to restaurant for our birthday, the New York Pizza Depot in Ann Arbor. It's not fancy, but it's good pizza. We all have our favorites. We have our favorite college basketball team. Let's not go there. Still so much more madness to come. Gosh, that sounded a lot better when I wrote that on Thursday, to be honest. But we all have our favorites. Believe it or not, over the years, I've discovered that many pastors, many preachers have their favorite sermon topics. While I imagine this might seem a bit odd, even awkward, kind of like naming your favorite child, favorite niece, nephew, this is certainly true for me. And it just so turns out that one of my favorite topics to preach on is forgiveness. Perhaps because I've seen its power and its necessity in my life, and perhaps because I've observed the same in others, I thoroughly enjoy preaching on forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness. Granting for forgiveness, even forgiving ourselves. There's so much power and possibility with forgiveness that I embrace every opportunity to preach about it. And so on this fourth Sunday in Lent, I'm excited to continue our Lenten sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. A sermon series based on Adam Hamilton's study, The Lord's Prayer, the meaning and power of the prayer Jesus taught us. Indeed, as Kiara and Pat reminded us, there is great power in praying this familiar prayer. And there's deep meaning in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. With all this in mind, we turn our attention to the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer, the fourth request we raise to God in this prayer that Jesus taught us. Indeed, it's here that we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, as familiar as we might be with forgiveness, in terms of needing it and needing to extend it and needing to receive it ourselves, many of us still struggle to define it. What exactly does forgiveness look like? What does it entail? What does it not entail? To help us better understand what forgiveness means or looks like, Hamilton, in his book, turns to the Greek word in the Lord's Prayer that we translate as forgive. Greek being the original language for nearly all the New Testament, and aphiemi being the term that we translate in our Bibles as forgive. As it turns out, this term, this Greek word, involves the action of letting go. The act of letting go. According to the Complete Study Word Dictionary on the New Testament, forgiveness entails a letting go of one's power, letting go of one's possession, so one could be free. Put another way, forgiveness involves a releasing of what is rightfully owed. And so as Adam Hamilton writes, quote, forgiveness is letting go, releasing, sending away the resentment or the right to exact revenge. We're asking God to release us from God's right to hold on, to hold our sins over us, to release us from the guilt and shame that we feel. End quote. As familiar as many of us are with guilt and shame, these two things are not one and the same. The crucial difference between the two is guilt is having done something wrong. Yes? And so we feel guilty about having done it. And yet shame is the belief that I am something wrong, that there's something deficient within me and within who I am. And so letting go, releasing, or sending away all of this sounds great, yes? A letting go of guilt, a letting go of shame. But what about those times when someone misses the mark with us? When the indebtedness is owed to us, an apology, an explanation, an asking for forgiveness. In these instances, does forgiveness look just as wonderful when we ask God and when we ask others to forgive us? Now, as much as we're talking about what forgiveness is and what it looks like, it's equally worth noting what forgiveness is not. For example, forgiveness is not forgetting. Okay? Forgiveness is not forgetting. In other words, just because you forgive me or I forgive you, this doesn't mean that we've agreed to hit some imaginary easy button, yes? That we've agreed to hit that rewind button. It doesn't mean that we agreed to pretend or to go back to how things were before the transgression, before the sin, or before the very act that indebted one to the other. In one of his sermons, Andy Stanley, who leads a large church in Georgia, addresses this facet of forgiveness. In preaching about the weight of our words, he spoke about how hurtful words don't always go away just because we say that we are sorry. Or that hurtful words just go away because we ask for forgiveness. In doing so, he turned to the example of having slammed someone's hand in a car door, whether inadvertently or not. All right, truth be told, with siblings and memories of that happening a time or two, kind of a tough illustration, but a handy one, if you know what I mean. Some of you got that. The point he makes is, just because I say I'm sorry, please forgive me, it doesn't mean that everything and everyone is whole again. See, we still have your mangled hand to deal with in that instance. Or perhaps more to the point, you still have your mangled hand to deal with. And even if you accept my apology and even if you forgive me, it doesn't mean that you and I are going to go back to where things were before. Or that your hand or hurt will get back to what it was like before my transgression. These consequences might remain even with forgiveness. However, what forgiveness does look like is you choosing to set me free from what I owe you. Forgiving is a letting go of what is owed. A letting go of a needed explanation or apology. A letting go of that which would otherwise result in the other feeling guilt or shame, so that both of us can live free. The fact of the matter is, forgiveness can be daunting. And yet Jesus shows us the way with his life and with his death and with his prayer. Nailed to the cross and hanging between two criminals, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Do you remember the response of those around Jesus? The soldiers responded by gambling his tattered clothes. The crowd just looked on. And the leaders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself." Really? Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing? And so when we pray, "Forgive us as we forgive those," we're asking God to help us forgive in the way that Jesus did. Even when it's hard. Even when it's undeserved. Even when we can't do it on our own. Earlier, I referenced knowing the power and the necessity of forgiveness in my life. To this day, whenever I preach on this topic or whenever I even just dwell on it, my mind goes to two separate times in my life. In one of these instances, I was the one needing to be forgiven. And in the other, I was the one who needed to forgive. Each of those times involved people I cared for an awful lot. And really, coincidentally, on both these occasions, a lot of time had passed between the transgression and the granting of forgiveness. Years had passed. In one of the instances, the relationship was never reconciled. Forgiveness was extended, but the relationship never reconciled. In the other instance, we reconciled our relationship and our friendship. Don't get me wrong, our friendship is not exactly the same as it was before. But I still value this friendship more than many others. With each of these times and acts of forgiveness, God has set us free. Free from being entangled in the past. Free to live our lives. And free to discover the vast expanse of grace. Now, I recognize that lately, here at the church, we've been focusing a lot on our hurts within the church and our need to forgive one another and perhaps ourselves. But I wonder if here in Lent, I wonder if on this fourth Sunday in Lent, I wonder if there's someone else in your life outside the church who might be coming to mind in this moment. I wonder if here today, if here in worship, someone has come to mind as we've dwelt on forgiveness. I wonder if there's somebody who you are envisioning in your mind. Maybe a wrong took place. As recent as this past week, or the week before. Or perhaps it's a hurt that you've carried for much longer than you are comfortable with. I wonder in this moment if you feel the heaviness of their name in your heart. Perhaps nobody is coming to mind. But knowing how life goes and knowing how it is to be in relationship with people and others, be it family, be it friends, neighbors, people we know in community with us, I have to imagine that there are some of us for whom the Holy Spirit is naming those names to you this morning. And if this is so, I wonder if you might pray for them this week. I wonder if you might pray for them today. I wonder if you might pray for them even as we pray. Whether you're the one needing forgiveness or the one needing to forgive, whether you've carried the weight of unforgiveness for just the past few weeks, or if you've known this burden for years on end, let us pray that God might help us to let go of what needs letting go. That God might set us free and others. Indeed, let us pray. God, you know each of our days. For your days are written in your book. And you know the frantic pace that sometimes life takes on. And you know those twists and turns that take place in our lives. Sometimes life gives us the opportunity to anticipate them. And sometimes they spring out of just a passing moment. And you, Lord, you know, Lord, of what happens. And you know the burdens we end up carrying. Lord, sometimes those burdens seem ever so slight. And we just need to recognize the need to let them go and to move on our way. The person who might be rude to us, at a store and might cut us off on the way home. And yet, Lord, some of those moments injure us or others to the very core. They alter our lives. And they alter our relationships. And whether or not we recognize it, O Lord, sometimes they change even the very way that we walk through this life. And Lord, this day, this week, we're mindful of Jesus' words in the Lord's Prayer, wherein we ask for forgiveness as we forgive others. And Lord, for those of us who in this room or in our homes or in our places, for whom a name or face is coming to mind, we pray for the balm of forgiveness. That you might give us the courage and the strength to be vulnerable and to let go. Remind us, O Lord, that the rhythms of your grace call us to live lightly and freely. And so indeed, O God, hear us and speak to us as we pray. We pray this for ourselves, our church, our community, and the world, knowing that more and more, your grace is what is required. We pray this in the name of Jesus, as we pray the prayer he has taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song together, Freely, Freely.
God forgave.
very mindful in the beauty of our sanctuary, how easy those instances of forgiveness sounded. On a Sunday morning, in our Sunday best. But I can tell you, I mowed acres of lawn in that second instance of forgiveness to get to that place where I can forgive. Acres of mowing to be angry and to be hurt, to sort through what I will do and to let go of the response of the other. It's not easy. But here's the amazing thing about forgiveness. We learn even more about who we are. And we learn even more about how God loves us when we choose to forgive. May we be forgiven as we forgive others. Amen. 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 Thank you.